Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlet Playoff Edition presented by OTGBasketball.com. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me, Corey Waldron. What's up, Corey?
Not much, Nick. Still recovering after a wild bunch of game sixes last night.
Yeah, it was wild. I'm still recovering from after seeing Avengers Infinity War, but I'm here to talk some basketball to take my mind off of that. And today we're talking Rockets and Jazz. Rockets won their series 4-1 against the T-Wolves. They really didn't have to play that well, and that's no disrespect to the Timberwolves. They're just not up to that level yet, and Jimmy Butler was banged up. The Jazz, on the other hand, I would say they pulled an upset, obviously still being a 5 seed, but a lot of people had picked OKC, including myself, and they won the series 4-2. You know, they had a really impressive performance from Donovan Mitchell. But what were your thoughts on the Jazz advancing?
I mean, I think going into the series, even though I picked Thunder in 7, I kind of thought the Jazz were the better team, and then the Thunder had the more star power. And kind of like what we're seeing in some of the Eastern Conference matchups, we're seeing the better team in the Jazz advance over the star-studded Thunder.
Yeah, it's the overall team that won the game, and I think that was something a lot of the big stars in OKC didn't show up, but that's for another day. Before we get into the preview, just a reminder, you can listen to the NBA Outlet on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, and Dash Radio. But is there anything we can take away from the Rockets-Jazz regular season series?
I don't know if there's much. I mean, regular season, obviously, as we've mentioned on previous pods, it's kind of tough to gauge. But, you know, I definitely think there's certain things they're going to use in their game plans. But I don't know if overall you take much from it.
Yeah, the one game I think you do take a little bit from, when they met in February, both the teams were really hot. And the Rockets did win that game, but the Jazz were able to slow it down. I believe they won 96-85, and that's the type of game that the Jazz, I think, are going to want to get into in the series. And this is just a side note, like you said, regular season doesn't matter as much, but James Harden did score his career high against the Jazz this season, obviously early in November, but he dropped 56, something to feel really good about if you're James Harden. We know confidence is a big part of his game.
Yeah, and we were seeing his confidence kind of start picking up, too, late in that Timberwolves series. I mean, that one third quarter in game, what, it was the closeout or game four?
Game four, yeah.
When he went berserk, that was, you know, that's the James Harden we were waiting for all playoffs.
And I think it does say something about him in the sense that, you know, you mentioned the big game, game four, third quarter. He struggled in the first half of that game. So the fact that he was able to bounce back, I think, was very important as well. In the regular season, I think it's a really intriguing matchup because you have the Rockets second in offensive rating, the Jazz second in defensive rating. It's really like a clash of two opposites. Obviously, the Rockets play a little bit better defense than the Jazz score offensively, but it should be an incredible series. What do you think we learned
about? It really should be.
Yeah. What do you think we learned about the Rockets in round one?
I mean, I think we learned that even when their offense isn't, you know, clicking on all cylinders, they're not scoring, you know, 120 points. And they can really still, you know, win ball games against a tough Timberwolves team. Obviously, the Timberwolves are thin, as we know, with their bench. But, you know, when, you know, Ariza's struggling, P.J. Tucker got hot, I know, in game 5, but he really didn't have a huge impact. James Harden wasn't great early on in the series. He got better as it went along. Chris Paul is consistent. But for me, you know, when the Rockets aren't hitting their shots like they have been all season, and then all of a sudden they're still winning games, to me, that's what stands out.
Yeah, I agree. I think the fact they're able to hang around in games, not necessarily, you know, play lights out, but then they can have one of these incredible quarters, like the third quarter we mentioned. They had some other big second halves where they can kind of like just all of a sudden the offense can start clicking. James Harden obviously had a big series, 29-7. Obviously, shooting percentage wasn't great, but still he put up the points. And even when, you know, the shooters struggled, they did bounce back in certain games. I think I'd be a little bit concerned on the Rockets side in terms of shooting. Like, I want to see some of my bench guys and role players step up a little more. They did towards the end of the series, but if they can find some consistency, they're a very tough team to defend. As well as that, I think Clint Capela really showed us something in that first round series against Karl-Anthony Towns. He's not the better player, but he definitely battled down low, helped with the rebounds, and obviously that pick and roll with him and James Harden and Chris Paul is very difficult to defend at times.
Yeah, I mean, now he's matching up with one of the best defensive centers, you know, obviously in this league, and Rudy Gobert. And I think that matchup in particular is going to be huge for the Rockets. Obviously, Clint Capela is huge for the Rockets offense in general, through the pick and roll, through everything that he creates by, you know, even in that Timberwolves series, we saw him at times driving the ball up, you know, just moving the ball with a lot more handling ability than I even knew he had. But I think that matchup in particular is going to be something we need to watch.
Yeah, another impressive thing from the Rockets before we move on to the Jazz size, in terms of turnover percentage, they had the best at 8.6, so they did a great job protecting the ball, which is very impressive. Obviously, Timberwolves defense isn't anything to write home about, but anytime you protect the ball, James Harden only averaged 2.8 turnovers a game, where in the regular season it was 4.4. Something to keep an eye on, especially against the Jazz team. But on the Jazz side, what do we learn about them?
I mean, we learned that there is no stage too big for Donovan Mitchell.
He balled.
Time and time again, he put up huge numbers. You know, last night he had 22 of his 38 points in the third quarter. I know that he said before the game, Quinn Snyder, you know, went to him and said, you know, we're going to win this game and you're going to be why. And he said that's exactly what I went out and did. And
yeah, 28 points per game.
All series for the most part.
Yeah, 28 points per game. 46% from the field. It was even better than his regular season numbers. And OKC, you know, isn't the same defense without Roberson, but still very impressive.
And the rebounding too, you know, 7.2 rebounds for a guard like him. You know, that's impressive, especially with a team like the Thunder, who, you know, obviously they're not a great rebounding team, but, you know, they were able to surely, you know, beat them up on that area.
Exactly. Him and Rubio did a great job on the boards. Joe Ingles had a nice series, I think, in terms of net rating and players that actually played decent minutes. He's second. Favors had a nice series as well. He had a good impact. I think he's going to be an interesting guy to keep an eye on because he kind of abused Melo in the sense that Melo couldn't really defend him. He did a decent job against Melo, and he ate on the boards a few games, which got them a W. Rubio as well, I think, was impressive. His injury, I think, is going to be very important. Obviously, a hamstring injury against a very active team like Houston could be an issue because they really need his scoring and playmaking for a 7-game series.
Yeah, and I mean, when we really saw, you know, what he could do in this series, obviously he hasn't been the huge ball handy years past. He's had to adjust his role, but you know, that game was 3 when he went off against Westbrook.
Yep.
I mean, that just shows, you know, on the Jazz, you know, it's obviously Donovan Mitchell is consistent and Rudy Gobert, but like on offense, it's really the next man up. I mean, we saw Jay Crowder have a good game 4. This team doesn't rely on one guy offensively. They get it from a collective unit. And obviously, Ricky Rubio's got a bad hamstring, and he's up. You know, that's going to affect the way the ball moves around and the fact that they're going to lose, you know, one of their big pieces.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely an injury to keep an eye on, especially with it their series going 6 and Houston finishing 5, getting a little bit more time to rest. Where so now the Jazz have to turn around and play on Sunday, which is going to, I think, have an impact. I wouldn't be surprised if Rubio's out for that game and they want to keep him healthy for the rest, especially a game 1 where, you know, Houston's hyped up, you know, a big home game in the second round. But where can the Rockets attack the Jazz in this series?
I mean, I think the just score, as weird as that may sound. You don't. The Jazz can't afford shootouts, right? For the Rockets, you want to attack them by playing your game. Attack the 3-point line. Keep putting up shots. You know, move the ball around, space out the Jazz, and obviously the Jazz. Quinn Snyder is going to have, you know, a ton of. He's going to obviously try and limit that 3-point shot because that is the Rockets' bread and butter. But I think if you're the Rockets, you want to be as aggressive as you have been offensively all year, continuing. Like, you don't want to slow up. You want to continue to attack 3-point line. Get some easy lobs down low to Capella, but you really just want to load up the scoreboard. You want to just pound them early and heavy.
Yeah, play their game. And that's exactly what they've done all season, and you expect to see that. You know, I think they need to use their speed and spacing, really spread out Gobert in favors. Obviously, one of OKC's problems was spacing and lack of three-point shooting or consistent three-point shooting. If the Rockets can let it up for 3, it's a super hard series for the Jazz to defend in general. You have a guy like James Harden, you spread him out, pass the ball around. You know, there's just a ton for them to defend if they're hitting their three-point shot. And it kind of prevents them from playing favors and Gobert together if they're really, like, you know, it's super tough for those two guys to get out on the perimeter. One thing that Gobert was able to do in their previous series was really hover around the paint with Steven Adams. And in this series, they're going to keep Clint Capella very active. They're going to force a lot of switches. And Gobert, I don't think, is going to be able to hover quite as much.
Yeah, no, you know, I agree. I don't know if they play both those guys at the same time. I think we might see some Jay Crowder at the 4. I think they're going to have to move. You know, you're like you said, you know, having Favors and Gobert, it's defensively at times, it's really good. But, you know, against guys like James Harden and Chris Paul, they're going to abuse those guys on ISOs. And obviously, they're not terrible ISO defenders. That team plays a collective unit of defense, as we know. So they do handle ISOs like that decently well, as we've seen in the previous series. But, you know, yeah, the Jazz are going to have to adjust to the Rockets style of play rather than the Rockets to the Jazz.
Yeah, I mean, in defending, we're in OKC, and this is no disrespect to Westbrook or anybody, but their offense isn't a ton of, you know, ball movement either as OKC's, but they do make, I mean, either as Houston's, but they do make you defend all five guys with the ability to shoot the three ball. So that's, I think, going to be a huge factor in the series. Where can the Jazz attack the Rockets?
See, this is tougher. I think for the Jazz, you want to focus your attention on James Harden, I think. And I think for them, what they want to attack the Rockets, defensively, is you want to just attack the paint. You know, you want to get physical. You want Gobert to be battling down low. You want Donovan Mitchell to be aggressive and attacking off pick and rolls and pick and pops. I think for the Jazz, you want to attack the paint. You want to win that battle.
And they can, because, like, they do have the size. I think rebounding scenario possibly where the Jazz can attack rebound percentage in the postseason. Jazz fifth, Rockets 11th. They do play Clint Capella by himself a lot down low. Gobert could have an impact on the boards, favors as well. I also think, you know, we talked about Houston wanting to keep the pace up, spread the floor, score a lot. The Jazz want to do the complete opposite. They want to slow this game down. They want to make it a grind-out game, and they really want to make it tough for James Harden, like you mentioned. Really, you know, just make his life difficult. But I'm interested to see who they use to defend him, because if Joe Ingles tries to do some of the things that he did to Paul George, where, you know, kind of get in his face, kind of swipe at the ball a little bit, James Harden's just going to take advantage of that and just get the foul calls. So it's important for them not to foul Harden.
No, I agree. And it's important not to foul Harden. And then also it's important, you know, if slowing down the game is the right idea, but at the same time, it's not – like, I don't know how much that really affects the Rockets. Obviously, the Rockets want to get out and run, but – you know, Chris Paul in the – my voice cracked a little bit. Chris Paul in the half-court set is almost scarier, you know, than him running in transition. You know, running in transition is where Harden scares you. In the half-court set, that's where, to me, Chris Paul is at his deadliest. So yeah, I think the Jazz, that's going to be a tough thing to overcome, is when you slow it down, if you can limit, you know, Chris Paul in some pick-and-roll situations.
Well, like you mentioned, the ice, they did a good job with some ISOs against OKC, but it's going to be a different series defending them. But I think you do want to force Houston into the half court, because, like you mentioned, in transition, they're dominant. And Chris Paul has been somewhat inconsistent. His three-point shot has been great against the Timberwolves, and he has some games where he kind of disappeared a little bit. It's going to be, you know, really defending those guys in the pick and roll, like you said, in the half court. They're just a tough team to defend in general. When you're a great defense, you know, that's what you do, is defend tough teams. But the Rockets offensively are incredible.
Yeah, the Jazz, you know, all series are going to have their hands full. And, you know, limiting – they did a really good job of limiting the Thunder, not getting 100 points a few games. You know, if they do that against the Rockets, then we really need to appreciate this Utah Jazz defense. I'm not positive that they're going to do it that often. I think this is going to be a game, you know, a series at least, where the Rockets might even manhandle the Jazz.
Yeah, I mean, think about it this way. Last series against the Timberwolves, I think we'd agree the Rockets' offense wasn't probably even at, you know, 85, 90%. Still second in the postseason in offensive rating. So the offense can score points even when it's not even at its full capacity.
And it didn't feel like that. You know, you giving that number.
Yeah, it didn't feel like it at all.
Did not feel like that all series.
Yeah, I think some of it is a little bit of an outlier in the sense they did have some crazy scoring quarters, but still overall in the game scoring-wise, they're going to put up their points. Key matchups in the series.
I mean, one for sure has to be James Harden and Joe Ingles. Obviously, we saw Joe Ingles get in the head of Paul George, really got after him in that game three. You know, I expect Joe Ingles to try and do the same things to Harden like you mentioned earlier. I don't know how effective that'll be because, like you said, you know, Harden is the best of the best when it comes to drawing fouls. He's made that, you know, an attribute to his game. It's, if you look at how to stop Harden, you know, getting him off the line and not giving him a way to draw a foul has got to be in the top three. So I'm looking at that matchup, and then I'm looking at Donovan Mitchell. I mean, especially with Ricky Rubio being hurt now. I think Donovan Mitchell and Chris Paul is a matchup we're probably going to see at some point, maybe even frequently to start on the series. And then it's another stage. I want to know how the rookie can do against, you know, obviously this Houston Rockets team, which set a franchise record and wins this year. You know, I want to see how he does on that bigger stage too.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's how does Utah defend James Harden? Do they go with, you know, Joe Ingles? Does Jay Crowder play a lot on him? What do they do? Does Mitchell get some time on him? I think that's going to be big. Also, how Houston defends Mitchell. You know, you mentioned Chris Paul. Chris Paul had some struggles with Jeff Teague in the previous series. You know, some of that was foul trouble. But, you know, Donovan Mitchell will have an opportunity to score because They weren't amazing against the Timberwolves. They may pick it up in the series, but I think he's going to have a big impact on the series regardless, you know, positive or negative, especially if Rubio's out. Another thing I'm looking for is Gobert and Favors versus the small ball three-point spacing. You know, are they able to stay on the floor, or does Quinn Snyder have to go small and match the Rockets at some point in the series?
I mean, I think going small is inevitable. Inevitable? Yep. Whatever it is. You know the word. They have to do it. There's no way, you know, you're going to be able to put both those guys out there for a full game. You're going to have to go small at some point. You're going to have to, you know, some Jarepko, some Jay Crowder at the four. It's going to be a thing. There's no other way. Unless the Rockets are cold, you know, say the Rockets have a game where they're not hitting their shots, then that might be a game where you can afford to have Favors and Gobert in for long minutes.
Yeah. Royce O'Neal's a guy I watch in the series because he played some good minutes against OKC. He's a tough defender. He might get some times on James Harden a little bit too. So it's going to be an intriguing matchup in terms of, you know, what lineups is Quinn Snyder putting up there to match Houston. What's the deciding factor in the series for you?
The deciding factor for me in this series, I mean, can I just say one player?
Sure.
James Harden. I at this point, it's James Harden. James Harden will dictate how long this series goes to me. Obviously, I think with James Harden too, maybe not to a huge degree, I think there's been some kind of mental hurdle for him in the playoffs. He has struggled in the past, as we know, you know, between his time in OKC and recently in Houston. Obviously, last year, the playoffs didn't end the way I'm sure the Rockets wanted it to. That Ginobili block, too, on Harden. You know, that's like, it's still fresh in my mind.
I'm sure it's still fresh in his mind, too.
Yeah, I think for him, you know, getting past this second round is really important this year of all years. And I just think, you know, he had some struggles early on last series. To me, this is a series where I think James Harden, you know, just needs to be that MVP. And I really think he's going to have a huge series, despite going against one of the best defenses.
I think he will, too. I think he'll have a big series. But for me, the deciding factor, I think, is three-point shooting. You know, the Rockets can actually shoot a good three-point percentage. I believe in the first round they were 12th out of, you know, 16 teams. So in the regular season, they're one of the top three-point shooting teams. Obviously, they picked that up, get more closer to their season average. I think, you know, this series could end a lot sooner than we anticipate. But who is going to win?
I have Rockets winning the series, surprisingly. I had to go with the Rockets. And I'm picking the Rockets. And for me, the games have been the only thing that, you know, have been wavering on me. And I'm going with the Rockets in six. I do think the Jazz are going to win one or two games because of their defense alone. But I really would not be surprised if this was to be over in five.
I agree. I pretty much spot on what I think. I think Rockets probably win in six. I wouldn't be surprised if we win five if all of a sudden Houston really caught fire. And, you know, the Jazz will probably win, you know, two games, maybe one on the road, one at home. They do play a lot better at home, though. So wouldn't be surprised if it even went 2-2, and then all of a sudden the Rockets just finished business, you know, in game five and six. You know, like you mentioned, James Harden, big series. I think there's too much offensive firepower for the Jazz to really slow down in terms of roster matchup. I don't know if they have enough pop on their team because it's not like Houston's a thin team like OKC. They do use their bench, and they've had guys who haven't even popped off yet. You know, Eric Gordon could have a big series. Nene could have a big series. You have guys like Trevor Ariza, PJ Tucker, Gerald Green, all solid NBA players. And it's just they have so many guys that can drop 20 on you any night.
Yeah, and that was a point I was going to make is that the, you know, the Rockets all year have, you know, their benches play huge minutes. Now, Ryan Anderson, too, hasn't been that great yet either. He's still coming back from that, you know, the array of injuries he's had this year. But I think it's like a ticking time bomb, the Rockets. Like, there's only a matter of time until the offensive explosion that we've seen all year pops off. And because they were so slow in that first round, I just have a strange feeling that it doesn't really matter how good the Jazz defense is going to be, that it's just going to be them facing against a team that's starting to click on all cylinders.
Yeah, I think they just – I mean, if they don't, you know, turn it up in the next round, I'd be a little bit concerned, especially if they do advance against up to Golden State. No offense to the Pelicans. And from the Jazz side, you know, if they want to have any chance in this series, I think Mitchell's going to have to be incredible, probably average close to 30 a game. And Gobert's just going to have to literally dominate the paint on both ends of the floor. And that means offensive rebounding, defensive rebounding, you know, just stopping everything. Quinn Snyder is going to have his hands full, too. He's going to have to come up with some type of scheme to kind of slow down James Harden.
Yeah, I mean, I think Donovan Mitchell obviously has to be just as good, if not better, than he was last series.
That's a lot to ask.
Rudy Gobert, like, yes, it is. Rudy Gobert, like you mentioned, he needs to be the dominant force down low. And then, you know, like you said, it's for the Jazz, it's a collective unit. Like, Joe Ingles played out of his mind against the Thunder. If he plays even – if he plays at that level, you know, I like them, you know, winning a couple games. But, you know, there's just too many – like, Jay Crowder is too involved still in that team, I think.
He's very inconsistent, too.
Yeah, it's really hard to for me to watch offensively. He's just got no confidence, I feel like, in that jump shot. But, you know, those three guys for me, Inglis, Mitchell, and Gobert, they're going to have to be, you know, and Derek Favors too. Those four guys who have been crucial all year, they got to go even bigger than they have already. And I just don't know if they can.
Exactly. So this should be a great series, a great second round matchup. Literally opposites, like I mentioned, second offensive rating in the Rockets, second defensive rating in the Jazz. You know, who wins the battle? We'll see in this series. But thank you for listening. Thank you, Corey, for hopping on. As always, you can check out the NBA outlet on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, Google Play, and Dash Radio.